Blog Talk Radio. Wondered if there's a way to realign your body to eliminate pain, to possibly move your vertebrae back into alignment, or even out your legs if one is longer than the other, and to do all this without medicine, without surgery, and without even physical manipulation. We know that electricity passes through the air unnoticed by the human eye. Today's speaker shares with us what he has learned in over 40 years of experience and study and practice and writing about a powerful process of healing energetically and interconnectively. So welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, love mentor and relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars and Love Lessons for the Soul and Love Mastery Secrets Blueprint. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Richard Gordon, founder of Quantum Touch Organization, is a visionary and a pioneer. With 37 years of experience in the field of energy medicine, Richard is the best-selling author of Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, now published in 17 languages, and Your Healing Hands, The Polarity Experience, available in 10 languages. Gordon demonstrated he could pass this healing energy from person to person or from object to object using a series of simple experiments that anyone could do by following the directions in his newest book, The Secret Nature of Matter. With certified practitioners of his work in over 50 countries, Richard's work was praised by Dr. C. Norman Shealy, founding president of the American Holistic Medical Association, as the first technique that may truly allow us all to become healers. So I am delighted to welcome you and speak with you today, Richard Gordon.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me, and I really appreciate all the great work you've been doing all these years as well.
Thank you. Just before starting, I mentioned that I also studied polarity therapy, and you started with that. So please tell us about your background, education, training, you know, where you started, and what led you to make these real discoveries that people could benefit by knowing.
Yeah, in about 1972 or 73, I went to a doctor. Yeah, you got skin problems, lung problems, intestinal problems. He said, but nothing's bad enough yet to treat, so why don't you come back when you get worse? And I thought, well, that's probably the worst advice I will ever receive in my life. And what I did was I went to a holistic health school. I went to the Cristo School of Natural Healing. And that's where I first picked up on polarity therapy. I wrote a book on polarity therapy that came out in 1978 that, as you mentioned, is like 10 languages. And just a few months before the book went into print, and it was a bestseller throughout the 1980s, but a few months before it actually came out, I went to a seminar with this older gentleman named Robert Rasmussen. And I thought I was on the cutting edge of healing work. I'd seen like miracle things happening with polarity. And Bob was telling tall tales, and I couldn't believe anything he was saying. It was just so outlandish, you know, talking about a broken bone spontaneously healing or resolving, a tumor the size of a grapefruit. And then he said, oh, yeah, I just touch people and bones just slide back into alignment with a light touch. And I'm going, yeah, right. Well, he brings my girlfriend up to the front of the room. I'm sitting 6 or 8 feet away from her. We're looking at her major scoliosis, and he just touches the hip, and the hips roll into alignment. And he touches different parts of her spine and the cranial bones and the occiput. The back of the skull just rolls back into alignment with a light touch. And my jaw was on the floor. I thought, this guy must have a rare gift. No one else is going to learn it, and certainly not me. But at the end of the day, I found out that I could actually begin to do this. Now, this led to a beginning of a major new journey where I eventually took over in his retirement. I gave it a new name. I took out all the woo factors and made it very straightforward, where anybody, regardless of their beliefs, could pick it up and start doing it immediately. I turned the whole idea of a workshop upside down by making it more experiential and much less theoretical. And that led to a series of discoveries that have come over the over 4 decades I've been in the field now.
It's all amazing. I know I have done some polarity experiments where I remember one in particular where we were feeling how far away can you feel the energy of the other person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the person might have been, you know, at the other end of a room, and we could still feel the energy. So we know that energy's there, and we know that people do distant healing, and, you know, there's so many ways that people have healed, and prayer healing.
Yes.
So we know it's possible, but you're explaining it even more deeply.
Well, Dr. C. Norman Shealy, the founding president of the American Holistic Medical Association, wanted to test my work. And he said, I don't have to do double blinds on everything. I just have to make the test so rigorous, I can't believe anything but the outcome. So in one of the tests, he brought in his most difficult chronic pain patients, meaning they had 20 or 30 or more years of constant pain, had never been helped by any traditional or alternative therapy. So I taught his staff how to do my work. And we did these group sessions for 1 hour on each of the patients. And we had between a 30 and 70% pain reduction that was lasting from a single session. A week later, he called me up and said, this is working. He called me up a week after that, even more amazed, because when I was there, staying at his place, in Missouri, he wanted to see if I could affect someone's brain waves at a distance. So a man lays on a table. I'm doing nothing for the first half an hour, which is the baseline. And then I get a tap on the shoulder, a nod of the head, and I start sending distant healing energy. And Norm said that if he had just looked at one of the 5-minute frames, I think it was about 25 minutes into the session, he said, if I just looked at that one frame, I might have thought the guy was brain dead, because I went into a very quiet meditation, gave the energy to the guy, worked on his back, take his back pain away because that would distract him. And then Norm started calling me names. And he said, Richard, you're a world-class healer. I said, Norm, this is a basic human skill. He said, well, you either have the healthiest ego of any healer I've ever met or the best act. Oh, Norm. Well, a week later, after he called me the first time, he calls me again and says, every one of my staff members can affect brain waves at a distance. I said, what an extraordinary coincidence. Your entire staff are world-class healers. And he said, don't rub it in. But it's a basic human skill that everybody can easily pick up and be able to utilize to bring down pain and suffering in the people around us.
But don't we do that? Mothers and fathers with their little baby or their child, you know, the kid comes crying with a wound and mommy just holds the child and it feels better. That does happen.
Yes, absolutely. That's absolutely true. And that's from an unskilled person. Imagine what a skilled person can do. Because what we're doing is we're working with that life force energy, the prana, the chi, the ki, whatever word we use for that animating current of life that is not physical and will not be measured with physical instrumentation. And in polarity therapy, we're waiting for the energy to pick up. With quantum touch, we bring it. We bring the energy. So we're already doing these breathing and body awareness exercises to raise our vibration higher and higher throughout the session. In polarity therapy or in Reiki, people will sometimes feel tired or drained at the end of a session. That can happen because all healing, to the best of my understanding, is a function of resonance and entrainment. That is, the person will either come up to match the vibration of the practitioner, or the practitioner will come down to match the person, or they're going to meet in the middle. Even a doctor touching somebody's shoulder saying, you're going to be better in a week, you're going to feel much better, that's a resonance and entrainment of suggestion, and maybe some energy as well. It's all functioning that way. In quantum touch, we recognize the definition of a healer is someone who was sick and got well. And a great healer was someone very sick who got well quickly. All healing is a function of self-healing. The cells heal themselves. I don't know how to heal a paper cut. It's spiritual and body intelligence that's activated to do the healing. And if you can raise the vibration high enough, create a field of energy around the person you're working with or the knee or whatever part of the body you're working on, that part will match the vibration, and then body and spiritual intelligence does the self-healing.
And wow, that is amazing. What comes to mind as you're talking is Tony Robbins, when he did his fire walking, had people raise their vibration level. And, and he does it for a purpose of creating what you want in your life. That I don't think that he's focused on the healing part, but it works for that. So, so how do you raise this vibration?
Well, on the simplest level, we have a little test to see if you've done it well by doing two things that are physiologically considered to be impossible and they're visible. And one of them is untwisting the twist of the pelvic torsion, where it looks like a person has a long leg because the hips are all twisted. And the other one is untwisting cranial bones. Now, most people don't care about these particular things, but I use them as a way of understanding the intersection of matter and consciousness and as a way to know that this is working. When I was on the road giving lectures five nights a week and workshops on weekends, I would tell people in the audience that they're going to be able to move bones back into alignment before lunch break on the first day or their money back. And that was just with a light touch, just touch a person and being able to change their posture in a way that would require a lot of force or beyond force by a chiropractor, for example. And everybody succeeded. Nobody ever failed. This is such an easy skill to learn.
This is also an amazing thing for me because I studied craniosacral therapy for many years. And you know, there is so much to understand and to know the bones and to, you know, I never felt like I could quite get it right. And you're saying you don't even need to know all of that.
No, in fact, last night I had some dental work done. I use my transcendental meditation, but I'm joking. I had some dental work done, and after it was done, I hung out with the dentist and a couple and her husband and a hygienist, and they were curious about my work. So what I did was I have a pendant that I put energy and intention into, and it's entangled with 5,000 other pendants right now and other people putting their energy into it. And I measured one of their hips and the cranial bones, and I had other people measuring too, and they all acknowledged, yes, it's really out, etc. And then I just touched lightly with this pendant, and they measured and saw that it went back, and we did it three times. And on the third time, I gave the pendant to the dentist and said, listen, I'd like you to just have the intention of aligning your husband, touch a shoulder with this object or anywhere in the body, and just have the intention. And she holds it, concentrates for a couple seconds, touches him, and his hips completely untwisted, because you don't even have to know. And by the way, I've worked with lots of people who had studied cranial sacral therapy, and I'd yet to find anybody who was aligned. In fact, they're often very misaligned. Even though I love the therapy and it feels fantastic when I've received it, it doesn't actually cause the alignment. And if it does, it doesn't last, because all the people that I've worked with who were cranial sacral people became aligned in a few seconds and permanently. Because what we're actually doing is working on the sphenoid bone. And I know you know what that is. It's behind the nose and the eyes.
Yes.
And when the sphenoid bone comes back into alignment spontaneously on its own, instantly the hips reflexively untwist, and the occiput, which is considered fused from the time you're an adult, aligns as well. And I have no physiological explanation as to how this happens. We're about to, you know, put in for research to do CT scans and actually get the visual evidence that this is actually happening.
You talk about something called conscious entanglement. What exactly is that?
Yeah, boy, that's a big one. What happened was I ran 57 experiments in my new book, The Secret Nature of Matter. It all started when my friend Daniel, 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, said to me that if you make a movie of yourself doing a healing session, people watching the movie will get healed. And I go, come on, that's hard to believe. And he said, test it. So the only test I could think of was to untwist people's hips and occiput, because I could measure it in a few seconds. No one can voluntarily fool me. And I get a reading. It just takes a second and a half to know if one hip is 2 inches higher than the other. It's just touch and glance, and that's it. So I made a movie of myself meditating, and then I showed people the movie, and it worked. And I thought, this is crazy. And so then I made a screenshot of the movie, and that worked. And then I had this crazy idea. I played golf in the morning, and I had a golf tee in my pocket, and I thought, what if I meditate on this tee, this little piece of wood, and give it the energy intention of aligning somebody? And I handed it to people, and it worked, and it caused the alignment, and I was shocked. Then I started to say, well, what about glass, plastic, rubber, paper, cigarette butts, pebbles? It worked on all material. All material was able to hold energy and intention equally and cause spontaneous postural alignment, which I abbreviated to SPA. Spontaneous postural alignment is considered impossible, but it's happening. So then I ran all these experiments. How can you get the information out of an object once it's placed in it? And how do you... what does it work, when does it not work, and all the parameters. And then one day I ran an experiment. I'd been seeing anomalous things happening that didn't quite make sense to me, so I wanted to clarify it. And I had a woman who had a very big hip misalignment. Her back was to a table in a coffee shop. Behind her, I placed 12 pennies about 3 or 4 inches apart from each other. And I meditated on penny number one that was directly behind her, thinking that I wonder if the energy was spreading between the pennies. That was my thought. And I handed her penny number 12 that was 4 feet away, and she was instantly aligned. And I got upset. I go, no, it's not supposed to work this way. And my first thought was the energy could be spreading like fire spreads across, you know, with gasoline or something. But that didn't make any sense, because then it would spread to the table, to the floor, to everybody in the coffee shop, and then everybody on the planet. And since that hadn't happened, I came up with a different hypothesis, which is conscious entanglement. So I ran an experiment the next day, and there were a couple women at a conference, both with major pelvic torsion. I borrowed a handful of change so I could have coins I had never seen before, because coins are very easy to work with, and I stared at them. And my entire thought process was, I see all the coins in my hand. They're all here. I see them all. And that was it. And then I put the coins down on a table, handed each of the women one of the coins, reached in a pocket, pulled out a coin I had previously meditated on, just tap one of the coins on the table for a split second, put the coin in my pocket, measured the two women, and they were both aligned. That was entanglement. I had joined the coins together in my mind, and then anything you do to any one of them will happen to them all. And the next day, I got to run the experiment in reverse to see if that worked. And it worked perfectly. What I did is I met a woman at a cafe that I hadn't seen in years. I had her put her change on the table, but there was no concentration on the change. It was her change. She owned it, but they were all strangers to her. She had no interest in any of those coins. I had her pick up one of the coins and hold it. I tapped the coin on the table. Nothing happened to her. She remained misaligned. I got really excited. And then I tested it lots of other ways where other people were joining the coins together and in various variations of it. And it all worked perfectly. So this means that when you join objects together in your consciousness, anything that you do to one of the objects will happen to all the objects.
It's mind-boggling what you're talking about, but as I'm listening, I'm thinking about what happens to people that have some kind of ailment. They go to the doctor, and they're told, you know, you have a problem with your knee or your back or cancer or whatever it is, and you have to do this. It's all labeled already, so there's an intention for you to get medicine, to get surgery, so they're... So talk about that a little bit. The negative intentions, I guess.
Yeah, the negative intention has been known as a nocebo, where a person, we told the wrong person that, but too bad they died. People will be subject to suggestion, and suggestion can either cause healing or it can cause dishealing or damage to a person, known as the nocebo effect as opposed to the placebo effect. But we have to recognize the body has an extraordinary self-healing mechanism that can be triggered from time to time. The medical establishment calls it a spontaneous remission or a placebo effect. These are the words they use for the body's extraordinary self-healing mechanism. But I know two other pathways, and I'm sure you do as well, that cause that self-healing mechanism to occur. One of the pathways is through energy medicine, polarity therapy, quantum touch, Reiki, etc., cranial sacral work. This triggers the body's self-healing mechanism without suggestion and without any other intervention. But there's a third pathway that I discovered that I call self-created health. And this is being taught around the world by many of my instructors now, and it'll be the subject of one of my upcoming books, not ready for publication yet. And what it is, is it was a process that took me 30 years. I woke up in 1980 one morning with severe flu symptoms, deep gurgling, chest cough, fever, terrible sore throat, bones aching, numb, headache, throbbing, and emotionally numb. And I thought, I'm going to be sick for a week. And I crawled out of bed, wrapped myself in a blanket, and thought about a seminar I had just attended where this very wise teacher said that all health conditions are in some form aspects of suppressed anger. And I thought, come on, could that be right? He said, well, let's look at it. So I looked at I looked everywhere. I couldn't find any emotion. In fact, I was so emotionally numb, I couldn't feel anything. And then it suddenly dawned on me that 3 days previously, one of my housemates had said something intended to humiliate me in front of friends, and I felt humiliated quite effectively. And at the moment I had that realization, I felt a surge of emotion going through me. Yes, I was really angry. I was really hurt. I vented. I cried a little bit. And then I got up into the shower, got dressed, drove downtown Santa Cruz, sat in the sun, drinking a cup of coffee. Halfway through my coffee, I thought, oh, my God, I was sick this morning. And that led me to figure out a way to find emotional causes very effectively by asking simple interrogative questions. It usually takes anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes to find exactly the emotional cause. It's not the cause that I think it is. The person knows that every single thing about their condition reminds them of an emotional situation they didn't want to feel. And the body has the ability to transfer it. And even Freud talked about convergence, where you can transfer an emotion into a symptom. But he made a deal with the medical establishment: I won't talk about health if you don't talk about psychology. So they separated the fields, even though it's a well-known phenomenon. So anyway, that's the third pathway to extraordinary healing. And when people release emotions, not only do the symptoms disappear, but people can feel incredibly, overwhelmingly grateful that they had even had the condition, because it showed them how they had stopped loving, and loving, getting back to the love was so much more valuable than the problem was causing suffering.
Wow. I'm thinking of so much at the same time as you're talking. One of the things is that years ago I heard someone say that having a cold is like a legal way of crying.
That's very, so, very true. Because it's wet and the tears. It's very much I've told people that if they could just have a good cry, sometimes the cold will just disappear right on the spot.
And I remember asking a friend who's a healer for a healing session because I had something going on. And I was expecting her to focus on the symptom, and she didn't even look at the symptom. She was talking about, you know, releasing anger and sadness and doubt and insecurity. And I realized, wow, I did have a lot of that. Yeah. And then I felt better. So could you just review the three ways of healing? Because I seem to have missed the first one.
Yeah, the three pathways to extraordinary healing. The first is placebo effect. Suggestion, deception, dishonesty can trigger it about one-third of the time. The second way is with energy healing. And we just conducted a study with 41 people with 50 pain conditions, mostly fibromyalgia, arthritis, and accidents. All 50 of the pain conditions responded to a single quantum touch session, and the average pain relief was 67.4% from one quantum touch session. The third mechanism for extraordinary self-healing is emotional process work, where people can release the emotional causes, but it's not enough. Even though that may relieve the symptoms, to go all the way through, they need to have the insight. What is this really about? And most people never get to that step. Second step is the release. The third step doesn't work if you haven't done the first two, like trying to swallow a pill the size of a basketball. You'll never get there. Third step is the insight. Yeah, they did it to me, but I've been carrying that around all these years and doing it to myself and people I love. And that automatically turns into remorse. Wow, I really hurt myself. Oh, my God, I hurt people I loved. Then the bow is pulled back so far, we're ready for self-forgiveness. Now the self-forgiveness isn't just repeating a bunch of words over and over again. It turns into explosive, overwhelming transformation and self-love. Well, you can't even contain that much love. And that becomes love of higher self, of God, goddess, infinite, beyond, beyond. And, oh, by the way, all the symptoms disappeared, but that doesn't even seem interesting at the moment because you're so overwhelmed to reconnect with who and what you are spiritually. And then later, you have this extraordinary awareness, oh my God, the choreography of this condition, to have everything about it remind me of the situation, was a gift from my higher consciousness. The body has the ability to be sick, not as a dysfunction, but a communication from our own higher consciousness on how we stop loving. That becomes extraordinary. And then you realize the universe wasn't punishing me. It was a gift. All this time, I thought I was being punished, and I was receiving a gift. Now that, you see, quantum touch is not going to solve all the problems. It's going to relieve the symptoms. Most come back. And when it does, and when we're discovering the quantum touch wasn't the bigger answer, then we encourage people to do the emotional process work. But here's the catch. It's always the blind spots. It's the spots you didn't want to deal with. It's where the electrical circuit fried, and you don't want to have to open that up again. Because our pain goes deeper than we want to know. But our love actually goes deeper than we can know. And that is the bottom line. So it's an act of courage. I'm willing to open up that can of worms and do it surgically, not just I'm going to dwell in it and reinforce the fact that, you know, daddy locked me in the closet or something.
Surgically, but you mean emotionally surgically.
Yes, you do it with precision.
Psychologically surgically.
Yes, exactly. We're doing it with a kind of precision because, look, if you dwell on the past, you're just reinforcing it and probably telling yourself a story that's only 80% true anyway. Because we embellish, we remember parts and we forget parts, and we're reinforcing that past every time you go back. So it's kind of dangerous to go there often in the sense that you're reinforcing something you didn't like and you're making it true over and over again. However, if you do it with skill, talent, knowledge, and you have a roadmap, you can go in and, using the metaphor of surgery, and surgically pull out what was there that you didn't want to deal with, emotionally process it. You're essentially healing it from within. And then when you come out, you don't have to keep replaying that over and over again. You're done. You finished that piece, and you have a much higher level of freedom and joy in place of that numbness or suffering or pain that you were carrying around.
This is amazing what you're saying. You have really validated a lot of the work that I've done. I've done Rubenfeld Synergy work where we reach those emotions and get people to express it. And what you're revealing is that all of this works, and yet there's something more, another level to get to, to really release and get the total healing.
Yeah. I remember the first time I taught a group, a large group, this technique, this one woman, you know, I taught, what I do is I'll teach the entire class on a Saturday, and then we have all day Sunday to wrestle with the material and work out the kinks and figure it out. And so on Sunday morning, I said, how many of you got all the way through the process? And it was about a third of the class, which is pretty average and pretty good. And said, okay, let's talk to somebody who succeeded. And this woman says, I never felt so much love in my life. I never felt so happy in my life. I never felt so grateful. She went on for like 5 minutes this way about how high she was and how happy she was. And I said, well, what was the condition that triggered all that? She said, oh, my shoulder hurt. And everybody laughed because it wasn't even on her mind. It didn't even exist anymore as a problem. But it reminded her of how her father was, you know, cruel to her and so forth, and how she had healed the relationship with her dad, and how grateful she was to be able to open up her heart this way and have a new life without having to carry that energy. Oh, and by the way, the shoulder doesn't hurt. And then you realize the shoulder was a gift. As much as it had bothered her for 20 years, it was a gift because it was a constant reminder that you had a higher priority. And the higher priority wasn't getting surgery, drug, or somebody to press on your muscles. It was to get back to the love with dad again, or whatever the issue is. And that's what self-created health takes us to. So between the discovery that we can raise our vibration and accelerate the healing process and bring down pain, that we can cause spontaneous postural shifts, that we can actually charge physical objects that will hold that energy, that we can join these objects together in consciousness so that they become stronger and stronger every single day as if it was a group talisman, and then we could find emotional causation and release it. And that's been what my work has been about over the last 40 years.
Wow. But you've done the work, but you've also been recording it and gathering research about it. So you're getting the validation. I mean, it's beautiful. So how can people find out about this? How can they see one of your videos? Is it available
somewhere? Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. You can go to quantumtouch.com, and you can. We have practitioners in over 50 countries around the world. We've got a really nice newsletter. We've got instructors teaching workshops around the world. We've got, I think our website is in 7 or 8 languages now. We're really making an effort to get this out, and only recently have I declared one of my life goals. And that is to see Quantum Touch researched at every university by the year 2040, to have it utilized in every hospital and taught in every school. Now, I know it's a big ask, but why not? Since it's an ask, you can ask for whatever you like, and that's what I like. And so we really need to do a lot of research. We need to get grant money. We need to take this out there. And I'm looking to also make a documentary, and I'm starting to meet some directors and producers. And the documentary would be called The Galileo Project. And the idea is, what would you do if you actually knew paradigm-changing information? How would people deal with an unfamiliar telescope? And this is where it brings in a lot of the humor of the piece, because when people run away when they see something that didn't make sense to them, it becomes very funny. And if they stick around and learn how to actually do it, because I'm going to teach everybody I meet how to do this and have them validate and replicate it, it progresses the plot. So either way, I win, as long as we got a good producer who can set up the scenes.
Well, it's fabulous. But I do know that people like to hold on to their problem. Like, if I'm sick and I get all this attention from everybody, and the doctors are helping me, what happens if you can heal yourself? You're not going to get all that attention
gain.
The same way.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
These are the secondary gains, the avoidance of responsibility, the blame and punishment, the self-righteous anger and hurt, the wanting an ego guarantee that will say, well, only when I know it's going to be better will I change, the fear of loss, and giving up the self-pity and self-importance. Yes, there's a lot of reasons people are going to hold on to an old condition, or why don't we just do it the different way and you can have a wonderful life? You know, this is your choice. You can hold on to the blame and punishment and the self-righteousness and the self-pity, but is that really satisfying? Is that really fun? Do you really want to do that? I don't think so. So let's do something much more interesting and valuable.
Well, this has been fascinating talking with you today. And the fact that you have such a beautiful, big, audacious goal to really reach people with this information. And why not? We've seen a lot of changes. The computer industry started with a few guys in a garage figuring this out. So computers, it's not that different. Computers are sending energy around the world in the ethers. So this is energy also, but this is even more powerful than any computer.
When
and
people
if we can reach
realize,
love.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to get to. When people realize that their love is not just some function of brain waves, their love is actually a real force that changes the outer reality. Your love truly matters. It has tremendous impact if you learn how to focus and amplify and direct it with intention. It's our greatest resource, and we're taught it's just you know, an epiphenomenon of brain activity, which is ridiculous because we're actually mm-hmm. spiritual beings living in these, you know, fancy meat bodies.
Wow, you have so much to offer. I'm so excited that I got to speak with you today.
Oh, likewise. Thank you. Really appreciate that you've been doing it so long and dedicated to it for as long as you have. It creates a quality of beingness that I can totally feel from you.
Thank you. And peace. I think I needed some validation about it to give me more energy to keep going and put it out there more and more.
When you start to see that you can replicate all the experiments in my new book, The Secret Nature of Matter, you can test them out. You can say, okay, what happens if I meditate on a penny? And can I put the energy and intention into it? And what about an old cigarette butt? Will that work? Yes, that works too. And you realize that all matter holds consciousness equally because it all seems to be made of subatomic God stuff. The whole reality is the illusion, but it's all about love and the awakening process where we discover who and what we really are.
Absolutely. And people can relate to this in terms of somebody that they loved who passed away or someone they broke up with. And you hold a memento from that person. And you feel that energy with that memento.
Yes. Or you take someone like Joe Rogan, the comedian commentator, and he doesn't believe in the woo, but he speaks about the woo. He said, well, I'm probably full of it, but he'll say he walks into the Ice House, a comedy club. He says it's the oldest one in the United States, maybe the world. And he said the laughter is coming off the walls. Or you walk into the Department of Motor Vehicles or a courthouse, and there's all those unhappy people who didn't want to be there. And that comes off the walls, too. And you can just feel it. Or you go into a party where everybody's really happy, and it brings your mood up just being there. So we somehow recognize that places or objects can hold special energy. And yet it's been dismissed as, oh, well, you know, it's just a psychological thing. You wouldn't have noticed it had you not been expecting it, blah, blah, blah. But now we can show people by untwisting their posture. Nobody cares about it very much, except people don't care about the phases of Venus, but it shows that the Earth goes around the sun. They don't care about the position of stars during an eclipse, except that it showed that Einstein was right about gravitational lensing. And that's how I'm using untwisting people, not because it's the most interesting thing in my work, because it isn't, but because it demonstrates that the mind is not confined to the brain. And does the death of the brain mean the death of the mind? Doesn't seem to, because if you can do this work, it really implicates very strongly that we are spiritual beings.
Wow. All I can say is wow. Those were the words that Steve Jobs left this world with. He said, wow, wow, wow. Well, we can have that wow we're alive here.
So yes. Did Steve say that? Wow. Conscious, in my understanding, is conscious death is one of the high experiences a person can have where, wow, the closest thing I could probably approximate it to is like having the best mushroom journey where you realize that love is a billion times stronger than your physiology can handle. And that's beyond words.
So we are ending now. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's been, you've pulled a little bit out of me more than I normally give. That is fun.
Wonderful. And to those of you listening, I look forward to speaking to you soon. And check out my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, for a book about how to live to 100 and beyond. And if you know this quantum touch work, wow. And you can find me at Dr. Erica Goodstone.com for contact.